This week on America Interrupted from the PBS NewsHour. The coronavirus has killed 200,000 and infected 6.5 million people in the U.S. But amid those statistics, there are the 2.5 million Americans who have recovered from the disease.
We're survivors. I thank God for it. And that's all I can say.
We hear from three of those survivors about what it was like to have COVID-19, why getting better is an ongoing process, and why it affects people so differently.
Your personal experience is so vastly different than mine, than to yours, than to anyone else's.
Listen and subscribe to America Interrupted, wherever you listen to podcasts.
While many college classes across the country remain online only, others are seeing a spike in COVID-19 cases after students return to campus. One school in Maine is aiming to buck the trend. Jeffrey Brown has our report. The story was produced in partnership with our PBS colleagues at Maine Public.
Move-in day at Colby College, with some 2,000 students arriving from across the country and abroad to attend this private liberal arts school in central Maine.
Everyone's very excited to return. I think we've all been, cooped up, maybe getting a little tired of our families.
After being sent home last March because of the pandemic, students were especially eager to return.
It's really good to be back on campus and, things feeling somewhat normal.
Normal, except for the masks and the COVID tests they underwent. And several weeks later, on the glorious fall day we visited, with students tossing a frisbee, eating, and talking together outdoors, it was almost normal, except for the extraordinary situation here, shaping up as a kind of test case for coping with COVID.
There's no doubt that I wanted to bring students back because I know what we do in terms of teaching and learning is done best when people are in person.
Colby President David Green and his team put into place an ambitious and comprehensive plan that includes making testing as routine as going to classes. In a large tent, students, staff, and faculty are tested constantly, three times a week at first, twice a week now. Colby sends the test to the Broad Institute, a research firm in Cambridge, Massachusetts, as part of a special program for colleges. Results come within 24 hours.
By now, most of us have had 10 or more tests, and it's become rather routine.
You're standing here. You've had 10 or more tests?
Yes.
Faculty are able to opt out of in-person teaching, but most, like East Asian Studies professor Ankeny Weitz, have chosen to be on campus.
Although it's a crisis and it's difficult, there have been certain opportunities available in terms of rethinking student needs. Examining what is absolutely essential for what I'm doing.
Senior Shravia Bahudoda, a biology major, returned to campus because she needed the hands-on lab time.
A few days before coming to Colby, I know there were reports that some schools had already sent students back home, so that sort of, understandably raised my anxieties. But I knew that we were in good hands because of the rigorous testing program that I know a lot of other schools didn't have.
I thought that we were going to have more issues with buy-in.
Ashley Guevara, a student government president from Houston, says students are accepting a shared sense of responsibility, which includes limiting gatherings to no more than 10 people.
The charge is being led by the seniors, being like, don't ruin my senior year.
That really works with students. I mean, especially the new students coming in.
Of course, there's always going to be people that might step out of line and that might violate the rules. I believe in everybody else to be the people to stand up and say hey, you're not wearing your mask, or hey, let's not throw that party.
Colby's plan anticipates there will be cases of COVID, and there have been. 6 students and 3 faculty tested positive to date. 8 have recovered. One faculty member who tested positive last week continues to be monitored. And that's the key, says David Green, identifying those infected, quickly quarantining them, and monitoring everyone else who's had contact. One case, he said, easily could have led to many more.
Now we have a student who comes in, travels to campus, tests negative at first because the student was infected just before coming to campus. A couple days later, tests positive. His roommate becomes infected. We're able to, by contact tracing, know everybody he's been in contact with over the last few days. He's the only person in this case who was infected because we were able to isolate him quickly, quarantine others.
Stop the spread.
Stop the spread dead.
Quarantining takes place in special housing the college rented. Colby is also building a new hotel in downtown Waterville, now used to more safely house students off campus. It's all part of an effort to avoid one worst-case scenario, an outbreak starting at Colby and spreading to this town of 16,000.
Understanding that if it came into my household, it could be fatal for several of my family members means you take it incredibly seriously.
Hillary Koch, a former teacher now running for state senate, lives near the campus. One of her sons is high risk for COVID because he has diabetes. So is her husband, a Colby professor teaching remotely, who was recently diagnosed with a heart condition.
We were concerned that if there were communal spread and the college had to shut down, students could be sent home, but residents and the town would be left to sort of pick up the pieces. And I don't know if our hospitals and if our city was really prepared for that kind of response.
So far, Koch says she's pleased with what she's seen.
I see students everywhere with masks on. Mm. So for me, just as a resident here, that makes me feel really, really good.
College officials say contingency plans to further limit student activities are in place if the number of cases rises. Will it all work? Colby has several clear advantages. A small campus in the middle of a sparsely populated state with relatively few COVID-19 cases. Engaged students and faculty. The funds for frequent testing and a willingness to spend them. Campus authorities tell us it will cost some $10 million this semester. Harvard epidemiologist Bill Hanage is one outside expert tracking this carefully.
I think the Colby experiment may well tell us something about how possible it is to truly limit the introduction of the virus to a comparatively closed small community, which is monitored extremely carefully. Now, that's important. That's really important.
But he cautions,
the problem with Colby, as making it representative of everything else, is that it's not necessarily going to have this large number of social events which are happening in a sort of uncontrolled fashion outside the school, because it's relatively confined. That's a big difference from a lot of places.
All of these practices that are putting in place.
Colby President David Green insists his campus won't let down its guard, and he knows others are watching.
How much of it is a model for other schools, for other places in the country?
Well, I think it is, but you know, let's face it, across this country, that kind of testing should be available everywhere. This should have been one of the first priorities for what our government should have been doing from the beginning, and they didn't do it. And so places like Colby and others are picking it up and saying, we are going to figure it out ourselves. We'll get this done. And that's really important to show that there is a way forward on this when, as a country, we haven't been able to do that thus far.
And there's one more factor to watch, of course, even on a gorgeous September day of outdoor classes. This is Maine, and winter is coming. The real test here and elsewhere may be on its way. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Jeffrey Brown at Colby College in Waterville, Maine.